This is Ricky Mundo from Lucha Underground, and you're listening to the Dark Match Podcast.
You're now listening to the Dark Match Podcast. Let's go live into the studio for this week's episode.
They were really good.
Or,
they turned out.
Or the chili cheese dip.
Shannon was so pissed off, like, when she came down.
Well, yeah.
Like, she woke up the next morning. She's like, did you save me some chili dip? I'm like, no, it was fucking gone.
Dude, like, she even was sitting down here. She knew it wasn't going to be here.
No.
So that's her own fault. She didn't come down and save her own self.
It was so good. Like, I definitely broke my keto diet, I guess.
Dude, you haven't
say.
Been on a keto diet for a long time.
Oh, did I say keto? I meant, I can't think of a word fast enough that rhymes with keto. So, no, I'm not on a diet at all. So, I definitely went to town on Sunday, though. I mean, geez, we had wings, we had sliders, we had chili dip, we had chips. Oh, my God, I ate.
I told myself I wasn't going to eat that much, and I went home, and I'm like, ew.
Yep, I ate entirely too much.
Yeah, I did.
So, but it was fun, though. I mean, it was a fun little get-together. And we only do it for the, I guess you say the big four. I wouldn't even really say the big four, because, like, we do it for...
Usually it's like the Rumble.
It's just usually it's
like
the three.
It's like the Rumble Mania. Yeah, we don't really don't do SummerSlam.
We really don't do Survivor Series either, but, like, recently it's just been like, hey, if you want to come over and watch it, I'll make some food, and we'll call it a day. So it's gotten progressively more fun. We'll definitely touch on the back end of the weekend and the festivities and everything that kind of transpired, but, I mean... What a hell of a weekend for wrestling. And also, I know we're both exhausted. I have not had, personally, a good night's sleep, and I can't tell you how long. I've been up so far since 2:45 a.m. this morning, so I am beyond tired right now.
Yeah.
So, whole lot of fun. So, and a good night of wrestling right now. I got on my DVR, they have a... There's a, with Impact Wrestling, they're doing a joke episode. I mean, it's pretty much like anyone that you would imagine not being paired up. Like, in this episode, like, Sami Callihan is the manager of Ethan Page.
Why?
Like, it's literally just like, did you watch, like, those videos of, like, softball regional wrestling?
Like, yeah, with WWE? Dude, that was great.
Yeah. They're doing their own, like, version of it, like, where they're just making fun, essentially, of, like, NWA. Like, they did, like, a studio show, and everyone's coming out as, like, a horrible, like, 80s gimmick. Like, Sami Callihan is coming out with, like, a tennis racket.
Oh, I saw a picture of that.
Yeah, so I want to watch
it. I got really confused by
just
what
for
the
like
hell was
the nostalgia
on.
Of it, and like it just looks absolutely utterly hilarious. So I'm excited to kind of watch that and see what happens. But other than that, I definitely want to touch on the whole Twitter thing, and I know we've made comments about it too. Have you been following along? And I hate to even mention his name because I have a feeling that he literally just gets off on it. I'm convinced. And it's this whole Brad Shepherd, I think his name is. Have you been following any of these?
Nope, not at all.
Well, you're don't in that regard. He calls himself a WWE insider.
Bullshit.
I agree. He has been, now I will, to his credit, he has been referenced once or twice on ESPN. Whether it is true,
doesn't have real sources much anymore.
No, not at all. So he was referenced one time on Pardon the Interruption, I believe it was, or it was like Last Take or whatever it was. He got a name drop in reference to XFL, and like it's his one crowning moment to live on. Well, he has been making waves recently because he's just shitting on literally everything. Literally just shitting all over everything, the product. He gave like NXT TakeOver War Games like a 4 out of 10, said that the women's division set wrestling back like 10 years. Everything that they worked for is just ridiculous. Anything and everything that he could shit on, he shits on. And he got himself in some hot water recently because he tweeted at Taylor Hendricks. And holy shit, did Twitter just let him have it. But the problem is, when Twitter lets him have it, guess what? His fucking followers go up. Like, the best thing you can do with these trolls is just stop following them. Don't follow them to give yourself a reason to hate them more. Fucking block them and just let him stew in his own hate. And let him stew in it muted, I guess you could say. It's just absolutely ridiculous. I don't know why I'm even giving it the talk time right now, but I've just been, like, I see him every now and then, and it's just, this guy is absolutely off his absolute rocker. But speaking of something that knocked me off my rocker, just announced last week, and want to get your take on this, NWA has parted ways with Jim Cornette.
Shocker. I'm surprised it took this long.
Well, he made a comment that he's made previously. It's not the first time that he's made that comment. He's made it previously. It's been documented elsewhere. Now, am I stating that what he said was right or wrong? No, I'm not at all. It was an out of context and absolutely unnecessary comment that he made. Do I agree with NWA for parting ways with him? To be completely honest with you, yes, I personally, I do. That's just my personal take. I think that in today's day and age, not necessarily what he's saying on the air, but also what he's saying on social media and how he's just bringing it up. He's got this old school mentality where he just cannot adjust to change. Change is what is bringing the wrestling world and the wrestling fans in. There are superstars that are outside of the norm to what he necessarily grew up on, where everyone needs to be 6'5 and a fucking Hercules of a man. And I'm sure he even enjoyed the women's matches that were bra and panties matches, let's be honest. So he doesn't enjoy women's actual wrestling, I'm sure. At this point, get him off the air, bring in a fresh face, bring in a new perspective, bring in like an old school talent if you'd like, someone that's into it. I mean, I'm vouching right now, and I'm saying bring in our buddy over at 10 Pounds of Podcast. Bring him in. I think he'd be a great addition to the team. And yeah, let's get a fresh face in there. So
yeah, it'll be curious to see who they get in there.
I'm curious to see what they're doing. They're doing fantastic things over at NWA Power. Yeah, I'm loving the show. I'm loving the product. I'm loving the nostalgia. Big shout out to one of our buddies, Santa, out there in the front row.
Yeah.
See him every single week on Power. So he's loving the product, I can tell. But speaking of loving things, I am loving our interview today. And we got started off with a shocker. That was an absolute shock. I'm still in awe over this. I went into this interview thinking one thing.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one.
And immediately, I was flipped upside down. Just completely. Did not see that coming. But let's get into our interview right now. Ein Punker unterlegte in der großen Stadt. Es war in Wien, war Vienna, wo er alles tat. Hatte Schulden, der Natur, doch ihn liebten alle Frauen. Und jede rief, na kann man Rock Me Amadeus. War Superstar, war populär. War so exaltiert, because hatte Flair. War ein Virtuose, war ein Rockidol. Und alles rief, na kann man Rock Me Amadeus. Hello, is this Sunny Side Up or Scrambled?
This is going to be, well, actually, on the steak, just to have it, just to make everything clear.
What? Are you fucking kidding me?
No, yeah. It's a common misconception, but I'm the beefy one. You can also call me Xander, I'm fine with that, but on the steak.
What?
Bulk is gay.
Wow. I feel so left out now.
Something tells me he's going to have something to say about that.
I think it's just perfect that he let off like that and has said... I don't even know how to process this information right now. It's like I start off...
shock.
It is shock. Like, you're the beefy one. Bulk is the eggs. Wow.
Yeah, well, he's the sizzling one. He gets all the attention. He's the healthier option for you, really.
Wow. I don't even know how to process this. I don't even know if I'm ready for an interview right now. I might need a day or two just to take in this information and see what I can do.
We'll have to give him a call and see what he says.
We will. Well, I don't know if he's accepting our calls. He left.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he kind of hung up the phone a little upset. But on the line with us here, we do have the steak to the steak and eggs. We have none other than IWC and all other promotions too. But obviously, steak and eggs from IWC. We have none other than Xander Gabriel on the line with us here today. And we appreciate him coming on short notice. But after the positive results that we got, despite how abrupt that last interview last week ended, we might as well get the other side of the tag team story and see where things go. Hopefully he doesn't hang up on us too. If he does, I mean, it just makes for good radio, let's face it. But first and foremost, Xander, how you doing?
I'm doing really good. I really appreciate you guys reaching out to me. Even if it was short notice, I'm always happy to share my side of the best tag team in IWC, I'd like to think.
We would agree, and that's why we kind of, last week, we started a little bit, I wouldn't really say a revolution, because revolutions are world-changing. I think it was kind of like a Yale-Harvard sit-in, I guess would be the best correlation to that.
Wow, okay.
We tweeted out to Justin Plummer and IWC, and this is the Pittsburgh Pro Wrestling Classic. This is supposed to showcase the best wrestlers in Pittsburgh and also the best wrestlers in IWC, and we have a tag team match scheduled for the tag team championships with the North defending their championships, but they're defending them against a team that you beat. And I don't mean, well, I no disrespect, Xander, you were a big part, you were a throwing object, but it really wasn't a match. It was more of a warm-up, I guess you could say, for Bulk Nasty's later workout later that night, and it went over not in the, I guess you could say it didn't go over in the regulator's favor, but go figure, here they are with a tag team championship match, and you guys are in a battle royal against each other. That really doesn't make sense to me, so that's why we took it upon ourselves to say, hey, this ain't right. I mean, you got some of the greatest tag teams in professional wrestling. You got some of the best tag teams in Pittsburgh. Why aren't they all being showcased? Why isn't, and sorry to kind of take the wheel away from you guys, why isn't the main event in there? Why isn't Steak and Eggs in there? Why isn't, I guess you could even say, why isn't the culmination in it? We don't know. Justin, we're still waiting on a reply.
Come on, dude.
Get back to us. What's going on here? Let's shake things up a bit.
He's a busy man.
He is a busy man, but I mean, Jesus. Like, you like the message, respond to it. So, kind of taking a couple steps back from our little sit-in there. First and foremost, Xander, we want to get to know a little bit more about you. Now, keep in mind, this is adult content, so watch your fucking mouth. But tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from?
I am originally from outside the Philadelphia area, same region that Daniel Hooven's from, our IWC High Stakes champion. I moved to Pittsburgh here to go to school, and I decided to stay because I ended up liking the city a whole lot better than Philadelphia. I can tell you that much. For one, it's surprisingly cleaner air out here in Pittsburgh than Philadelphia. I think, I don't know, you guys might have seen my post, but I was formerly in the Navy for 4 years.
I did.
So after I got out of the Navy, I decided I wanted to come to the University of Pittsburgh to study. I was tipped off that a lot of WWE wrestlers do a lot of their I guess their medical work here at the University of Pittsburgh. So that was kind of the sign for me that I should come out here and study in Pittsburgh. And I, like I said, I stayed for work, and now I'm here probably for a long time, thanks to wrestling.
So what did you end up coming to study for?
So I came out here and I wanted to study communications and digital media. I thought it would be a really good stepping stone to help me get into broadcast television and eventually work on a TV set, producing something that could get me into WWE. Lo and behold, I found indie wrestling, IWC, and I decided to go there and help them out instead.
Now, you mentioned that you wanted to kind of get into digital media. Were you looking more towards like the behind the camera, or were you looking more towards like cameraman, lighting, sound, audio? What exactly were you looking to do?
A little bit of everything from the get-go. I just knew I wanted to help produce a television show, and I absolutely loved wrestling, so it felt like a good choice to go into the digital media field. I made a couple of videos myself, which you can probably find on my YouTube page, along with every other Xander Gabriel, Xander Zone video that I've ever made. I like the idea of producing a television show, something live especially, which is what wrestling really is at its heart. It's where it's best at.
Well, even the Xander Zone was kind of the way that this tag team kind of came about, more importantly. Yeah. Kind of just continuously making pleads with Bulk to team up and to steal his words. You were kind of like a tick that wouldn't go away, and you just kind of felt like a I'm not going to use his words, because his words were they were pretty hurtful. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, you know, it's he has his way of expressing his friendship. Sometimes it's hurtful, sometimes it's physically hurtful, but at the end of the day, I know he just wants a friend, and that's what I'm there for, to be his best friend.
Well, I tried to be his friend, and I was like, well, I like you. He's like, I don't care. So he kind of shot me down. So you got a leg up on me.
Hey, you couldn't even pronounce his name.
No, I need alcohol to say his name. He knows that. I've said it numerous times. I shake at the thought of even mentioning his name, and I do need some liquid courage just to acknowledge him. And on December 7th, I'm going to need a lot of alcohol.
Because I'm
going
to get him to chop you in the chest.
Yes, you've already... the element of surprise is gone, my friend, so...
I don't care.
Between now and then, I'm probably going to get a Bulk Nasty tattoo on my chest. And... And maybe like a stick on one. I don't know. Like nothing permanent. I mean, I think he's gonna leave something permanent on me, but I might just draw one on. Maybe like some stencils, some colored pencils. Maybe, I don't know. But
that is a good idea.
It is.
I might consider an actual one, because we could actually get matching ones. I would get one of Bulk. He would probably get one of me. I'll probably pitch this idea to him. I thank you for that idea.
You're welcome. I would probably even pay for it if he would be so willing to do so. I would fund the Xander Gabriel tattoo that Bulk Nasty would get.
It's great.
So, and we can,
I think this can happen.
I think it can too. So the ball's in your court now. So we've already called out Justin Plummer. Now we're calling out none other than Bulk Nasty, which and the alcohol is starting to wear off, and I'm just realizing what I'm doing right now. So. You had mentioned how you grew up outside of Philadelphia. Now, were you more towards like the border of like New Jersey, or were you more like south of Philadelphia?
I was more northwest in the suburbs outside Philadelphia. The actual town is called Lansdale, Pennsylvania, but who knows what that is, so I always just say Philadelphia. I was not a city slicker at all, not really even into the Eagles back then. So when I came here to Pittsburgh, it was 2012, 2013. It was really easy to just become a Pittsburgh sports fan. You know, we had the Penguins winning back-to-back. We had a really, really good Steelers at the time. Maybe not so much now, but...
No, you guys suck.
Yeah, that's Sorry. Right. You guys are from Ohio.
Well, yeah, we're Browns fans. So
well, I'm looking forward to their... Yeah, well, a bunch of people are, I'm sure.
Oh, there's a lot of people.
Oh, this weekend's going to be fun.
Yeah, this weekend is... this is going to be entertaining. This is...
Hey, if Browns win on Sunday, I am showing up next Saturday in full Browns gear.
And he will be the only one.
I don't care. I
am not that stupid. I am not going to... I'll wear a Browns hat. That's probably the extent of what I will wear, but... I'm going to bring a replacement hat just in case. That replacement hat's also going to be a Browns hat, but whatever. It's just not going to be as predominant. It's not going to be as predominant, but no, I'm looking forward to this game on Sunday. So you grew up, and we kind of have a similar background. We tell everyone that we're from Cleveland when we grew up in the suburbs as well. We grew up right outside of Cleveland in a suburb that is essentially...
It's the immediate western suburb.
It's the immediate western suburb of Cleveland, so it's just so much easier. Instead of telling people, like, hey, we're from Lakewood, Ohio... No, we're from Cleveland.
Because nobody understands what we're talking about.
No. No one knows at all. They're like, oh, is that close to Cleveland? It's like, no, it really just is Cleveland. So we understand. And I actually grew up, I'm originally from Pennsylvania as well. So I grew up a little bit north of you. Man, I'm horrible with geography. About 2 hours north. So
Where from?
I'm from Scranton, Pennsylvania.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, no, it's not not as much fun as it's portrayed on TV. I can assure you of that from experience. It is definitely not. So, what kind of brought you into the world of professional wrestling? You grew up, you're living in the suburbs outside of Philadelphia. Well, what was the first kind of introduction to the world of professional wrestling like?
I can tell you. The first introduction, before I even got into wrestling, the first introduction was WCW versus NWO on the Nintendo 64.
A game that my co-host has still never played.
How are you functioning without playing? That's actually impressive at this point. I'm more impressed that you haven't played it than if you had played it.
I agree. Like, this has been brought
up
on numerous shows.
See, now it's a whole thing that I just can't play it.
No, you need to. Because
then what
now.
If I do? Then it just takes away from everything.
No, because then we can talk about how much fun WCW NWO Revenge is for N64. And we can talk about all the different characters.
Well, Pat, Christmas is coming.
Well, I'm not going to buy you NWO and WCW Revenge.
Well,
because
if
I buy it for anyone, I'm going to buy it for myself.
Pat,
but we
you need
play it
gaming
here.
Systems first.
I do. Yeah, you're right there. I would have to buy it for you. Yes. So... Yes, Christmas is decided there, so we know what you're getting. So you got introduced through this game, and then what was it like? Was it, okay, well, what are we playing? I think I should just watch this now, or was it just...
that would have been the logical step. No, it actually, I'm a huge gamer, so I continued playing some wrestling games throughout my lifetime, but I never really watched wrestling until about 2008. 2009, and a lot of people would argue that that's some of the worst time, I think, in WWE, but that was the first introduction that I got into. Again, I was in the Navy, and I was stationed overseas. One of the TV channels that they give you for free is the Armed Forces Network. You get Friday Night SmackDown at the time, you have Monday Night Raw, and then you have all the pay-per-views for free.
What?
So I started to binge. This was back 2008-2012 time frame, where you still had to pay. There's no such thing as a network, and I would watch them all the time, and I really got into it. You had people like, my first big favorites were Antonio Cesaro, now known as just Cesaro. I was a big fan of him. He was super-duper strong, and I was just starting to work out, so I really got hooked onto every match that he did, and he's an excellent wrestler besides just his strength. I would say Cesaro, and then what a lot of people will hate is The Miz.
Nope, not here.
Good. Well, yeah, Cleveland boy, so there you go.
Yeah.
He, I think when I first started watching, he was just going into WrestleMania 27, and he was the champion, and I absolutely just loved him as a heel. I thought he was just one of the best mic workers of all times, which, again, controversial, but hopefully you guys will agree there.
Well, yeah.
And you might have noticed, hopefully you've noticed, some similarities between my presentation of the Xander Zone to Miz TV.
Absolutely.
One of the things that I wanted to bring in here is kind of like a show segment, which is what I hope the Xander Zone will turn into at some point. So we had these big characters. You had Cesaro, you had The Miz, other people like Randy Orton, even John Cena I'm a fan of. Everything got me into it for free in the Navy, and I just kept watching it after that. Eventually, I was introduced to Ring of Honor. I went to a local Ring of Honor show in Pittsburgh, and I saw Chris LaRusso there as a top prospect, and I thought he was really good. So I looked up him, and I found IWC, and I started going to IWC shows. Eventually, I befriended Dennis Jackson, the Titan, if you'll recall him.
Yes.
And he kept telling me, you should come try out. So I did, and I passed the tryouts. and I did my started my training with IWC, the Iron City Wrestling Academy.
Now, being from a Navy background, what was that tryout like?
For me, the physicality part of it was not too demanding. The one thing I did notice was, and like you said, boot camp, they just keep pushing you and pushing you until either you give up or you keep going past what you can possibly do. Somebody else helps you up and you're a team. It was the same thing in the tryouts. They didn't want to have you breeze through everything. They wanted to see what was your breaking point and will you keep going? Because the same thing when you're wrestling, if you start to get fatigued and start to get sweaty, you can't just say, well, screw it, I'm done, and walk out. You have to be able to keep going and keep your cool, keep your mentality, and produce the rest of your match. So that was the one thing that they had you do. They would push you to your limits. They had a puke bucket just in case. Nobody used it, at least in my tryout. You know, you do 500-plus squats, and they just want to see what happens when you break down. And physically, I didn't break down. I was able to pass it. I won't say easily, but I was definitely sore the next day. It's not something I really want to do again. I wouldn't want to do again.
No.
But no, I thought it was pretty smart to have it not just physically demanding, but mentally demanding.
I like need a puke bucket just to think about doing 500 plus squats. I'm just thinking about it and I'm getting nauseous. So kudos to you being able to kind of break through that and continue going. And hell, look at you now. So I'm losing my voice. Like I feel like I'm gonna get sick just thinking about it. Excuse me really quick. Need to refresh with a wonderful Great Lakes Brewing Company Christmas Ale. Give me 1 second. And we still need our refills. We're still waiting on you.
God, we still need our...
We still need. Reply to our emails. Reply to my tweets. Reply to my messages. We've literally been commenting on everything. So
saying, hey, Great Lakes.
Oh, yeah. Great Lakes, come on. So get on the ball. So you get into IWC. You go to Iron City. And you start your training at that point. What was it like? Obviously, the trial wasn't that bad, but wrestling school is a whole different animal. What kind of expectations did you have going into it that, unfortunately, at that point, were complete 180 of what you were expecting?
As far as the complete 180s, there were a lot of things that they would not let us do from the get-go. So we did not learn how to do proper strikes for the first couple months. As you've seen, I have not yet done, at least in a match, any dives yet. If you'll recall, Johnny Patch had said they didn't let him go to the top rope for like the first 10 months. IWC was really good at, you have to have your basics down before you start expanding and learning a lot of other moves. So they make you a foundationally strong wrestler. So that way, when you are thrown a bunch of different wrestling maneuvers in the ring, you kind of can always rely on your basics and be prepared for anything. I really liked the aspect of safety that they had in the training. I wasn't expecting that because I think if you see a lot of backyard wrestling, you see people doing making really bad decisions. So I was going in there kind of expecting like, well, I know about a few months in, I'll probably get injured. I didn't get injured once throughout training. I was pretty fortunate, you know, a little bit banged up and sore from all the workouts, but no, they really take care of you as far as safety wise. And I won't say I'm a complete wrestler now because obviously I'm about 6 months in, but I feel that everything that they taught me there makes me approachable to every other form of wrestling because I can say, oh, well, I have the foundations that they drilled into my head. I can go to Japan and pick that up. I can go to Mexico and pick that up. This is of course, a lot of dreams of mine. I won't say this is happening yet, but foundations are great. Safety is great. And I would recommend the IWC Wrestling Academy to anybody who's looking to wrestle.
Yeah, and I like that word that you used, yet. So it's always good to have those goals. And I think if you just kind of get complacent with, oh, well, I'm just happy with what I'm doing now. No, you have to have that ultimate goal. And obviously you never stop learning either. Every match that you go into is a learning experience. It's not just a match. It's an opportunity to adjust on your feet. If something can be thrown at you that you're completely just out of your comfort zone. And that's one of the craziest things, just knowing the foundations and the method that in which they train teaches you to adjust on the fly. So I will not take anything away from the training regimen because, geez, some of the people that we have on our show, a month out of wrestling school, I was booked on shows, and Iron City has a very strict one-year policy. Either you go through the class for 1 year or you don't get booked. It's as simple as that. And I've heard some stories of some people that have joked with people saying, oh, yeah, I worked a show last night. And it didn't go over too well, to say the least. So
yeah.
Was it That's you true. That that did the joke? Because I'm going to keep asking every single IWC wrestler that we have on. Was it you?
I can tell you that it was someone from my graduating class.
We've narrowed it down.
We're getting closer.
We're getting closer. This has been an ongoing mystery. So we will get to the bottom of the chair shot and kendo stick bashing of Chris LaRusso if it kills us. So I want to know who it is. So it was in your training class, correct?
That is quite possibly true, yes.
No. You can't backtrack your statement. You admitted
it. He didn't deny. He said quite possibly.
Quite possibly. I like it. Okay. So it was his training class. So we need to see. What the fuck are you doing?
I was trying to add like background music to it.
Oh my God. Like just insert something right here. Just like we need some like heavy like.
Inception music.
Ooh, I like it. I like it. Just monotones. Just insert here. Just mellow tones, I guess you could say, from like Sarah Marshall, Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Yeah.
I like it. I like it a lot. So you go through training. You have your first match after you go through. You weren't the kendo stick person, but we're getting warmer and warmer to uncovering this mystery. So what was that first match like? Because obviously coming up in just at this point, but coming up at Pittsburgh Pro Wrestling Classic, here's an opportunity for some new graduates of the Iron City Wrestling School to have an opportunity to get thrown into this battle royal. So what was that experience like when you were informed, like, hey, you're done with training, so it's your opportunity to go out there and show people what you can do? What was that experience like?
It was, I would say, in one word, scary at first, because you want to make your best impression. It's your first impression. You only get one first impression. I was a little bit nervous because I got to wrestle with my best friend, Bulk Nasty, and I didn't want to let him down. I got to wrestle a Hall of Famer, former IWC World Heavyweight Champion, Super Hentai. I got to wrestle Daniel Hooven, our now current high stakes champion. And to be in the ring with two very, very experienced people and my best friend was a little bit nerve wracking getting in there at first. But like you've already pointed it out, you know, I've been through the Navy, I've been through college. It was a performance for me to go out there. And at the time that I did it, I thought I was 100% ready, thanks to all the training, thanks to always being able to ask questions to anybody backstage, something like that. So as nervous as I was when it actually came for the bell to ring, I thought I was ready in there. I also had done a little bit of social media work prior there, so a couple people knew my name, perhaps better than some of the other wrestlers in our class. My family and friends surprised me. They showed up there and I didn't realize it, but I ended up selling a whole lot more tickets because they used my name when they bought them. So that was very nice. And I'm sure the Plummer family enjoyed that. I also got a victory on my debut match, which started the streak of Steak and Eggs 5-0. So I really appreciated that. And it's something that I'm kind of sad that I won't ever get to experience my first match again, but I'm glad that I got it under my belt before I get old and gray and can't go back and do that.
Yeah, you always remember your first, and it's good to know that you started off with a victory, and here you are, 5-0 now. And it's unfortunate. I'm still bitter. Like, Justin, reply to that message. I think we need to make things right now. I mean, you still got a little bit of time before Pro Wrestling Classic. Let's make this let's up the stakes a little bit. Pardon the pun there. Get some eggs in there too. So,
you know, I will point out, though, that this is beneficial to us, and I don't know if this was Mr. Plummer's plan all along, but now we get to scope out our talent. Whoever wins this tag team title, we're going to get to see them, see how they win these tag team titles, and I'm pretty sure we're next in line. So we are going to have a positive going into our next match. In the meantime, Bulk Nasty gets an easy night and gets to destroy four rookies in the Battle Royal, along with probably Elijah Dean. Anybody else that wants to step in there, because we're just going to dominate Steak and Eggs for Life, winners of the Battle Royal, December 7th.
What Here's my question for you, and I hate to throw you in this kind of situation. Obviously, it's a battle royal. It's every man for himself or herself. If a individual, a female, wants to jump into the ring as well, it's open to all individuals. But let's say that out of those individuals, the remaining two individuals are none other than Steak and Eggs. Where and what happens from there?
It's a crazy prediction, but I know that Bulk would do the same for me. If it comes down to Steak and Eggs, we will refuse to step over the top rope and have the other one lose. So we will demand Justin Plumber give us the trophy and announce that the winner of the Battle Royale at the Pittsburgh Pro Wrestling Classic on December 7th is your tag team of Xander Gabriel and Bulk Nasty, Steak, and Eggs.
So you're going to petition that you guys are technically just one unit?
He's going Hunger Games on this shit. It's like, we're both going to eat this poison berries if this happens.
Yeah, it could turn into a long night if Mr. Plumber wants to be stubborn, but you know what? I know we will win the Battle Royale, and I think Mr. Plumber will give us the trophy to celebrate, and I'm really looking forward to it because I know Bulk likes shiny things, so do I, and I'm pretty sure I've seen the trophy. Johnny Patcher showed it to me. I'm looking forward to winning it.
I think at this point, we've talked about revolutions already. We talked about necessarily a sit-in, but I see a sit-in happening at Pittsburgh Pro Wrestling Classic, that if it comes down to Steak and Eggs, they're just going to go CM Punk and just sit Indian style in the middle of the ring, demand that trophy. I would be all for that.
That or they both, yeah, that they both walk through the middle, so then nobody technically loses.
I see that happening too.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know if Bulk can actually sit Indian style. He's a little bit he's big, but I can try to do that for you guys if you'd like.
Okay. We'll hold you to that. So we will definitely be
stage
there.
Stage a sit-in. Yeah, we will stage definitely. Yeah, we're going to be there. So,
like, I think we'll be cheering louder than everybody, too. I anticipate later on at the after party, we will not have any voices for this at all.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, even if you read the website, it's like, oh, they'll conduct interviews. I don't anticipate having a voice.
No, we're gonna need to bring a dry erase board and just ask questions that way.
Yeah, it's going to be, like, it's going to be done through pantomime. That's how the interviews are going to be conducted. It's going to be all through through cue cards, and you have to act out your response. I think it'd be like
a charades.
It is, which I think would go over perfect on a podcast.
Yeah, charades would go great on a podcast.
I agree. So we will be the first charades podcast.
This is right. Yeah,
yeah. Like Xander's like, I don't know what the fuck I just got into. Like,
no, I'll try it out. Hey, the first time for everything.
There is. We could be the first. We are the first individuals to have a completely pantomime podcast. It'd be like Pootie Tang. Be the best song ever. You have no idea what I'm talking about.
No, I really don't.
God, another movie you've never seen. So, kind of taking a couple steps back, you said that you're a
Which
big...
Which one?
Pootie Tang.
That's a movie?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, God, I have no idea.
Jesus.
No, I'm Dave.
Oh, my God. So, Xander, you said you're a big gamer. Before we kind of jump into the games of your choosing, what is your console of choosing?
Oh, man. I will say what I currently prefer to game on, and then what my favorite console of all time is. If you want to consider a console, it would be Game Boy Advance.
Ooh.
That was the first video game. I'm going to consider it a console because it plays video games. That was the first video game console that I ever bought with my own money as a little kid. I looked forward to it for the entire year that they were hyping it up and everything, and I was just so happy to be able to buy it and own it and have it as mine, and I have so many games on that I recall. I still own a lot of old Pokemon games for that.
Oh, I think I had the Pokemon Yellow for Game Boy Advance.
Yeah. I never had a Game Boy.
I got the Game Boy Advance, yeah.
Never got a Game Boy.
Yeah, because that was the one that had like even the short cartridges, right?
The tiny ones.
The little tiny ones, yeah. That's the one
Happies,
I have.
Whatever they are.
Yeah.
Never had one. Never got one. Asked for it all the time.
Wah, wah.
I know. I even asked for, like, the big present I wanted when I was a kid is I wanted a Sega Game Gear. That was the one thing I wanted. I wanted a Game Gear because there was Double Dragons and Street Fighter that was on Game Gear. And there was this kid that used to come into When I was in second grade, I went to before school care, and we'll talk about, went to McKinley.
Yes,
yeah. Yes, went to McKinley with us, and he had a game.
Seamus,
who
was it?
No, don't talk about my son like that, dude.
No, shut up, Pat.
Yeah,
no, because I remember there were times in elementary school when we had like the in school testing that you could like bring stuff to like.
Yeah, no, this was before school. It was I'm gonna drop a name for you that you probably haven't heard in a long time.
Yeah,
Joe McKeon.
Oh God, yeah, no,
yeah,
he and him were semi decent friends for.
Yeah, I was too. He was the reason why I kind of got into wrestling, but him and someone else, rest his soul, Ryan Churchill. But he had a Sega Game Gear, and I wanted one so bad. And what did I get for Christmas? A Sega Genesis. Same thing, still cool.
Just not, one of them's not him.
No, my dad just wanted to play
it. It's the better option in hindsight.
It was. Hindsight 2020. I mean, I had a lot of good games there. So what are some of your go-to games now? Whether it be they... current games or even vintage games
because you cut him off when he told us.
I'm sorry. I got distracted. I still want to Sega Game Gear. I'm going to go on eBay right now.
You can get it. It's probably like $300, and then your batteries will last for an hour. But
There you go.
It's kind of like my cell phone now.
So my console of choice right now is probably my Xbox One. I'm a big fan of their controllers for the most part, and that's really the reason I would play an Xbox One over PlayStation 4, but I have both consoles. Game of choice right now, I actually literally just beat Borderlands 3 this weekend.
Didn't that like just come out?
That came out in September.
So yeah.
Yeah, it just came out. Not even December, and he's already done with Borderlands.
Well, it took me a while, I think, but I can look at all my games right now and tell you, I mean, I just started this game called Control. That game came out probably around September, I think. My favorite gaming series is Metal Gear Solid. And the next time you guys see me, you can look on my left arm. I have different robots tattooed on me from those video games. And the reason is it's my favorite series. I had an older brother who learned Japanese, went to Japan as an exchange student, bought a Japanese PlayStation 2 and brought it back to America. He brought back Metal Gear Solid 2, and he used to play it with me, and he would occasionally translate it for me. So as good as the game is gameplay-wise, it's very much a nostalgia aspect for me. Anytime I play Metal Gear Solid 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and I chose to get those robots on me. I also have, I have a Metroid tattoo. I have a Zelda tattoo. Wow. I have a Golduck tattooed on my chest. Big, like I said, big Pokemon fan. At one point, I had collected them all. 649 of them to be exact, and then they kept making more and I just gave up.
Jeez. I think I had like I think I had like 40, 45.
That's all you need though, really. Like if you catch them all, there's no point.
Like I'll be honest. I was big into it for like a brief period, and then like I just remember like I went to a my mom got like advanced tickets to like the Pokemon movie, and I think I left there and I was like I wasn't like bought into it anymore for some reason. I don't know. Like I wasn't sold on it, so like then I just kinda I think wrestling just kinda took over after that point. It's like, you know what? Like my life is wrestling. Like no more Pokemon. Like my mom bought me that Pokemon it was the one where like you go around taking pictures of Pokemon.
Pokemon Snap.
Yes, thank you.
It was a good game. Yeah.
Yeah, and that was like the game that she got me, and then like a few weeks later, she got me WWF No Mercy, and life ended at that point, and it was consumed, literally consumed by No Mercy, and then Revenge immediately following. So, Dave, what are some of your vintage games?
See, mine's all like sports related.
Well,
and then Mario, you know, pretty much. Anything Super Mario.
I agree. My big thing, I was on like
Super Mario
were you
World, man.
Were you Sega or were you Nintendo?
Nintendo. I never had a Sega. I never had I had Nintendo and then I switched to PlayStation.
Like I loved
like when it started getting into like the Wii and whatnot, I switched to PlayStation.
I never had a Wii either.
I never had a Wii. Like my sister got one at home.
Yeah.
And it's like I played it a little bit, but it's like I got bored with it. Like I don't like the oh boy, stick and you're doing things. No, just give me the fucking controller and just let me play.
Yeah, like I know there was one time we were at like a family party or something, and they were they had the Wii Sports.
Yeah.
And we were like,
it's a fun concept. It's an interesting concept.
I was
concept.
Afraid I was
going to
throw the damn controller through the TV.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that's bowl.
But
okay.
then again, that's also why there's a cord on it.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, put this around your wrist so it doesn't go. Like my big games, I always go back to it. Like on Sega Genesis, I was really big into, and not many people know this game, but I still have not beaten this game, and it still irks me to this day. It was a game called Kid Chameleon. Do you remember that game at all?
No, I never heard of it.
Oh man. Not many people do, but Kid Chameleon was, it literally had like over, like, what's that?
You're like a skateboarder?
Kind of. He was kind of like a skateboarder, yeah. But like, he had like different characters that he would morph into. And it was like a weird game. It was like a weird concept to even explain. Like, there were like ghosts that you'd get, like rock characters, like demons, like every mixture of everything. So, but one of the cool characters that you could morph into, there was one where you would actually, you would become like a, you would have like a hoverboard, and that's one thing that kind of sticks out to me. And then I was really big into Super Metroid. That was another one.
Great game.
On Super Nintendo,
yeah.
Donkey Kong, always got to go there.
Oh, who doesn't love Donkey Kong? Yeah. Dude, Donkey Kong 64 is difficult as fuck, though.
Yeah, and then I was, when I got into like the PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4, I got really sucked into Red Dead Redemption. That was like my go-to game. That's what kind of brought me back in, and then FIFA brought me like full circle in, and then immediately got me full circle out because I was threatened that if I didn't stop playing, I wouldn't be married anymore. Oh, I was literally like, I would load up the
so
game.
You're not married anymore? Is what you're
no,
saying?
No, I am. I am married. So
no, he caved and got rid of the game.
Yeah. Regrets. So, I almost bought it again too. But
I know you did.
And Shannon almost killed me and threatened me again. But oh, I was playing like I would load it up and I would play it in real time. So I was playing like 90-minute matches. Well, yeah, I. It literally let it consume my life, but it was a fun game. Like it ruined a night or two, but oh well. So, kind of going back to yourself, what are some games that you're excited that have not come out yet? Because some people that we've spoken with, there's one big game that everyone's been talking about, and the release date continuously gets pushed over and over again. And I think it's like Kingdom Hearts or something like that. I think they've been pushing that for a while. It was set to release in like, I might have it wrong.
I'm going to guess it's a Sony exclusive called The Last of Us 2. That would be my guess because that's been pushed back a bit. Kingdom Hearts 3 did come out this year, and I was a Kingdom Hearts fan, and I bought it, and I just didn't like 3. I actually made a list of games that I want to buy and beat, and some of them I can tell you, and I think anyone who's listening who's rolling the games will know this one, but these are a little bit obscure to other people. There's a game called The Outer Wilds. There's a game called The Outer Worlds. Two different games, totally different styles. I want to get both of those. Hmm. One that's real big that's out right now is called Death Stranding. I hear a lot of mixed reviews on it, but it is by the same creator who made the Metal Gear Solid series, my favorite series, so I want to give it a shot.
Oh, yeah, I think I saw Jimmy Nuts just say he just finished that, I think.
I saw that, and I want to ask him about it because he said he loved it, and I want to know why. I think you might have mentioned Mario is one of your favorite ones. You might have played Mario Galaxy. I'm a pretty big fan of the Switch, Nintendo Switch, because it is portable, so I like that Game Boy feel to it. There's a few games that are out for that one called Slay the Spire and Astral Chain. Again, a little bit more niche. I also bought the Spyro and Crash Bandicoot remakes, which I haven't been able to beat yet. I'm a busy guy, so after this, I'm actually taking online graduate classes, so once semester wraps up, I'm going to game a whole heck over winter break, I'll tell you that.
So we should be getting some updates on games that you finished, like about half a dozen games over the next month.
Yeah, I go to town. I'll tell you, And I fall out of it when I start doing classes because I try to be responsible. But I'm a big fan of side-scrolling games. I mentioned Metroid. Those are some of my favorite games, Metroidvanias. So what I'll do throughout the semester is I'll buy a bunch of them whenever they're on sale on Steam on my computer, something like that. And then as soon as the semester's done, I go to town and I get like, I beat 10 of them in 2 weeks and I try to just catch up on everything that I missed for the past 3 months, which, man, that sounds really pathetic when you say it, but I don't even care. It's what I like to do. So
we're excited to see some of those updates. And obviously once winter break hits, I'm just waiting for the plethora of Xander Gabriel tweets.
We'll just beat this.
It's like, as I'm sitting at work, like I haven't done anything like with like any type of winter break whatsoever.
Son of a bitch.
It's like he's living the dream over here on his summer, on his winter vacation. And here I am. I can't even like finish lunch. Like, ridiculous. So kind of switching gears. Now you've talked about some games that you're looking forward to, some games that you kind of go back to, but in the realm of wrestling, now you've had a little bit of time. You've had about 6 months to kind of get your feet wet. But kind of putting you on the spot here and giving you an opportunity to kind of put some people over, what are some individuals that either you've worked with or you've heard about that you're kind of looking forward to working with in the future, and you feel just haven't gotten a whole lot of exposure? Here's an opportunity for you to put some people over. What are some names of some individuals that you feel our listeners should really give a check out to?
It's a good question. I can tell you some of the people that I'm thankful, which is actually wonderfully themed for Thanksgiving, but some of the people that I'm thankful to have worked with or been trained by are the two head trainers, Andrew Palace, Chris LaRusso. You can ask Johnny Patch, he'll tell you exactly the same. He probably did on his podcast with you. They were really good trainers. I've already mentioned they drill into basics and they focus on safety. So I was never scared to try anything, and I learned a whole heck of a lot from them, and I still am, and I still will go to them to say, hey, I want to practice on this, or can you tell me what would be a good sequence right here, something like that. I guess I got to give a shout out to Bulk Nasty. He is my best friend, and I constantly hit him up and ask him a lot for advice. He has a very, very strange way of getting back to me. Sometimes he'll take a while, and it'll be in all caps, but I appreciate his advice. Some people that I want to work with, I'll start with IWC. I would say the number one person that I would like to work with is probably Atticus Koger. I don't really talk about it, I guess, everyone that I like to work with, but I think Atticus Koger is a very complete wrestler who has a very distinct, what's the word I'm looking for, a very distinct image that is very polar opposite of Xander Gabriel. I think he's killer in the ring. I absolutely love his moonsault. I love the production of all his videos that he does. I think he spends a lot of time in it, as do I. So I think some matches between us would be just absolute killer. Feud of the year 2020, but you know, you didn't hear that from me.
And I think the Somebody promos else. Would be awesome too, yeah.
I think all my promos are awesome, but yes, those ones specifically would be great. As far as the tag team, I would like to do against the main event, Steak and Eggs versus the main event. I think the main event, I want it sooner rather than later, because I foresee them getting scooped up by AEW or WWE in the future. I don't know when, but those guys are so damn good at everything they do. It boggles my mind that they're not already down at NXT or in AEW as a tag team that would like to wrestle the main event.
Agreed. And I got a bone to pick with Duke as well. Don't ever scare us like that again. That's all I'm going to say. You know what I'm talking about. Don't scare us like that. He like posted a picture. You're looking at me weird.
I must have missed something.
He posted a picture saying bye bye, and it was a picture of his dreadlocks.
Oh.
Oh yeah. Because
he only shaved the side of his head. Like he did something. He still has the dreads, but he got rid of a couple of them and he shaved the side of his head.
Oh.
And everyone thought he literally got rid of his mane. So. Yeah, and people have been having some fun with it, some fan art. There was one that was posted earlier today. It was hilarious. It was like a picture of Gannon just fuming, and then there's Duke just holding onto his dreads, like just shrugging his shoulders. It was hilarious, but sorry to interrupt there.
No, I mean, I saw the pictures too, and I was like, oh, I thought you were going to shave them all, but you got to remember, I mean, he has a lot of hair, so even if he shaves a third of it, a half of it, that's probably twice as much as you or I would give if we just shaved our heads. I don't know.
Yeah, I barely got any hair up there anyway.
I think I mentioned Atticus Cogar, the main event. I have worked Elijah Dean before, and I would like to continue working him and wrestle him and hopefully beat him one time. Somebody like Johnny Patch, I mentioned him a few times. I'm not as obsessed with him as I am Bulk Nasty. Well, I'm not obsessed with Bulk Nasty. I mean, we're best friends, so I don't consider it an obsession. But
there's absolutely I'm editing that out, just to say.
I would like to wrestle Johnny Patch, somebody like him. I would have liked to wrestle Wardlow, and I still think I can one day.
Same.
Yeah.
Same.
Yeah. And some of these rookies, I want to see what they got. Chase Gold, Vic Braun, the thickest guy in professional wrestling. Pretty sure that's actually Bulk Nasty, so I don't know what he's thinking. And Miles Monroe and Anthony Young, I want to see what they got. So I'd like to work those four guys as well.
I think a very interesting match, just kind of looking at your persona and looking at your personality. Personally, I would like to see a match between you and the essential artist known as RC Dupree. I think that would be, especially just with the promos as well and the work and just, I'm just kind of thinking about what the promos would be right now. I think that'd be a great feud. I would like to see that. Justin Plummer, once again, let's get a move on it.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good idea.
Yeah. RC Dupree versus Xander Gabriel. Let's get it going.
Yeah.
I like it. Anyone else?
I guess outside of IWC, I mentioned Wardlow, who's now technically AEW. A dream match would be me against Cody Rhodes right now. I always liked him back when he was dashing Cody Rhodes, up when he had the face mask, when he was Stardust, all those, the whole lifeline of him, back to not Evolution. What was his?
Legacy.
The Legacy.
Legacy. I liked him from then. That was somebody that I had wanted to wrestle before AEW became AEW what it is now. So definitely him. Somebody from WWE, if I had to pick somebody, it would probably be Cesaro. That would be somebody who would push me to a fantastic match, I have no doubt. Even though he's a lot more experienced than me, I'm confident that I could keep up and probably I'm gonna say I could beat him. Yeah. It'd be tough, but
those are some I feel good about it too. Those are some tough words, but I like your confidence more than anything.
Gotta be confident. That's what Bulk always says. Not always to me. He doesn't always direct things to me, but he does say that.
Now, one thing about Cody Rhodes, I was a big fan of when he was undashing Cody Rhodes, when he had the, what was it, like the protective mask?
Yeah. Well, yeah, no, that's what he was saying. No, that's when he was, like, dashing Cody Rhodes.
No, he was undashing. He was undashing because he was terrified because his face was, as he said, deformed because of it. So he was dashing, and then he was
then he got hit in the face and had to have the protective
mask. He got hit in the face with Rey Mysterio's.
Didn't he come out with like a paper bag on his head at one point?
No, yeah. The paper bags, yeah.
Well, and it's funny that Xander mentioned WrestleMania 27. One of my favorite matches from WrestleMania 27, other than John Cena and The Miz in the main event, one of my favorite matches was actually... an unpopular opinion, but was Cody Rhodes versus Rey Mysterio. That was one of my favorite matches of the event. There was a sequence in the match that just left me in awe. It was a top rope suplex, and Cody Rhodes literally held it on the top rope, held Rey Mysterio in the air for, I kid you not, at least 15 seconds before he actually dropped back. It was the most impressive, not only a balance, but of a strength that I've seen in a long time.
I'm going to write this down because I want to rewatch it now.
That move stands out to me every single... Like, I don't know why, but like that move, like just watching it live, WrestleMania 27, still stands out to me this day. Watching that, like, is he going to drop... Holy crap, he's still holding them. Yeah. Go back and watch it. Like, that sequence in itself, like, that whole sequence, the finish as well, kind of, he takes the mask off, and then he uses the knee brace that crippled him, essentially,
as a weapon at the end of the match, I thought it just told the perfect story. That's one of my favorite matches from WrestleMania 27. Unpopular opinion, but call me on it if you'd like. So I might need to go back and watch that right now. I don't know. But we got a couple more questions for you. We don't want to take too much of your time, obviously, with the holiday coming up. We want to get you off the line, let you play some video games, enjoy your time off. But next, obviously, is what is next for Xander Gabriel? Other than Pittsburgh's Pro Wrestling Classes, which is happening on December 7th in Elizabeth, Pennsylvania. Tickets available at the link in our bio if you haven't gotten them yet. Tickets are going fast, so you want to get them before they sell out. So get your tickets now. Head over to our bio and get them now. Do it.
Do it.
Do it.
Do it.
Do it.
Do it.
Get them now. So other than Pittsburgh Pro Wrestling Classic presented by IWC, what's next for Xander Gabriel?
So as I said before, steak and eggs are for life. We're best friends. We're going to wrestle together forever. But I would like to branch out and have single matches with Bulk Nasty in my corner and vice versa. Bulk Nasty can have single matches and I will be in his corner. As I mentioned, a few people that I would like to wrestle, Johnny Patch, Atticus Coger, I think I can wrestle those and I would probably do a lot better if I had Bulk Nasty in my corner. And I think Bulk Nasty would do a lot better if he had me in his corner. So single wise, there are a couple titles in our company that I would like to pursue. That would be all of them that I'm eligible for. I don't believe I'm eligible for the women's championship.
Never say never.
That's true. Who knows? You shoot for the sky. I'm also looking around. I also wrestle at a company called Prospect Pro Wrestling. They are in Worthington, Pennsylvania, and I'm a big fan of that company. It's a lot of new guys, a lot of people that you'll see in IWC and around the area as well. They are having, and unfortunately, they are having their Chase for Gold tournament, which is for their Prospect Pro Wrestling Championship, 2PW for short. I was knocked out in the first round, unfairly, by Elijah Dean, who decided to give me a low blow, which is why I mentioned him. Hopefully I can get even with him one day. Like I said, if I Bulk Nasty in my corner, I'll be unstoppable. But I do like wrestling there a lot, and I think there's a lot of good competition for me, especially with the tournament coming up. There'll now be a title for us all to compete for. I am trying to get as much wrestling that I can possibly handle. Like I said, I am in classes, so I sometimes have a tight schedule. I just bought a house as well, so I'm doing a lot of repairs right there. Thank you very much. It was a heck of a process, especially because closing happened the month that I was debuting as professional wrestler. I try to stay in touch with my parents who live all the way out in Philadelphia. I think you mentioned Thanksgiving. They're coming out here, which I'm really grateful for. I don't have to drive all the way back there. And I'm also looking to always work behind the scenes at any wrestling promotion that will let me, whether that be filming, whether that be getting on commentary, just to see how the entire show is run so I can learn the aspect from tearing tickets down to streaming it live like 2-1 Media does. I had the chance to do a little bit of filming for other wrestling companies just by circumstance of somebody not being there. So I was really grateful for that. And then you might know Sorgatron Media, Wrestling Mayhem Show. I've been on that a few times, and he's always had me do some sort of media at any shows that he is working, which I'm really grateful for as well. So if it's not going to be wrestling, I definitely want to be doing something behind the scenes at all times.
Outstanding. From one AV individual to another, I wish you the best of luck in that regard. It's a lot of work, but obviously if you get the training and you get the more importantly, if you get the backing and you get on a good crew, the opportunities are absolutely endless. So absolutely best of luck to you in that regard, and I hope that you can pursue that moving forward. So if you do want to follow along, you can find him all across social media. Be sure to follow him, retweet, like all of his posts, because obviously the only way that he's going to get over is if you help him get over. So be sure to follow him all across social media. He is tagged in all of our posts. So if you're following us, obviously because you're listening to this, be sure to give him a follow as well. But Xander, we truly appreciate your time. Best of luck to you. We will see you on December 7th. Best of luck with your best friend, Bulk Nasty, as well. But We'll definitely sit down. We'll have a couple drinks, and we'll definitely enjoy ourselves after you guys win the, well, it, not necessarily a singles trophy. After December 7th, it will be the new tag team trophy. Very shiny, and we will be there to watch you and Bulk decide a schedule to see who holds it up on their mantle and what days of the week.
Yeah, I think that sounds fair.
I agree.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
No problem. So, Xander Gabriel, ladies and gentlemen. So, big story out of Newsweek earlier this week was they did an expose on Ring of Honor and kind of calling everything out. Now, I know that we touched on it previously. Obviously, news coming out. Kelly Klein has been released.
Yeah, still surprised by that one.
I am too. She holds the championship.
Yeah, she's your fucking title holder.
It just goes down to, like, hey, you're coming out, and like, and I'm not saying it has like anything to do with gender or anything like that, but like coming forward and voicing your opinion to make a better work experience and a work atmosphere, and questioning essentially policies and procedures, and they speak out, and like one of the things that she was called out on was someone's like, yeah, well, you don't do this like publicly, you don't call it out on Twitter. And she literally replies back, like, I've been doing it privately for 4 years, and now I just have to come out publicly just to get a change. And the change was my employment. So instead of making changes and making a better work atmosphere, they just decided, you know what? You don't like it? You can go work somewhere else. So
she's going to get picked up.
Oh, God. Like, I guarantee the second that story dropped, she had like 500 messages from various big name promotions.
You know where I think she would go first?
I think she's probably going to go to NWA.
You and I are on the same page, my friend.
Well, why would she say, like, hey, I picked up this album? It's Billy Corgan. It's Billy Corgan's album. I was like, oh, like, am I seeing the writing on the wall? Like, yeah. Is there something here? Yeah, I see her going to NWA, making the women's division a bigger talking point than it already is. I really don't see her going to AEW.
She could, but yes, they need more women's talent. I know we kind of, I think, touched on it. They need more women's talent there first.
They do need more women's
talent. But then again, that would be a way to bolster your talent.
Well, I'm just waiting for the plethora and the abundancy of women from Women of Honor to just say, you know what, I'm just going to part ways too. Like, Maria Manic, I'm waiting for her to depart as well. I would have loved to have seen a feud between her and Kelly Klein.
Yeah.
I take my money now.
Yeah.
So it's only a matter of time before other individuals start flocking suit. I don't see Ring of Honor really recovering from it too well. The press and the bridge has already been burned.
Yep.
Unfortunately. So I guess all we can really say is only time will tell. So,
but yeah, I think NWA will definitely be her first shot. I think it'd be a smart play. The very interesting thing being her contract's up at the end of the year. I think they said they just weren't going to re-sign her contract. So I don't think she's immediately available. Well, so I don't think she can even go to NWA for their next set of tapings, which is here in the middle of December. Which is like the 13th, 14th.
But could it be like a catch-22? Like, hey, yes, I'm wrestling, but technically it doesn't air until after my contract expires. Do you think like...
But then again, I don't know if they have like a no-compete type deal on their contracts. I doubt it because it's Ring of Honor.
It's like, first off, like, what do you really...
Because especially a lot of them, it's like they go wrestle other places, too.
If they come after for Do Not Compete, you can go after them for wrongful termination.
That's very true.
Yeah.
But then again, for her speaking publicly about certain things, which, you know, we're saying are probably completely valid, it's, you know, there's probably language where it could have been rightful for them to terminate, but blah 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 blah
blah blah blah blah blah
lawyer speak.
Yeah, and like, it's surprising how Shane Taylor's kind of kept quiet too. Obviously his contract,
I think his contract's up at the end of the year.
It is. There was a lot of questions about who at NXT War Games.
God, such such a great event.
It was.
So good.
Yeah, it was such a good event. I don't understand how these people are shitting on it. Go
Wait,
figure.
People were shitting on it?
People were shitting on it.
On War Games?
Yeah.
What?
I don't get it either. Yeah, there were people that were shitting on War Games.
Like, I understand maybe some of the middle matches, it's like, yeah, when
no,
you have such...
those were good, too.
No, they were. I'm like, where you have such an like a spectacle of, like, the War Games match itself.
Yeah.
And just what can be done within said match. I can maybe understand where people are like, maybe you start kind of crapping on, like, the middle of the event.
Yeah.
Like, with different things. But no, dude, it was fucking fantastic.
Oh, I thought it was great. I
as love- much as I... As much as I... fuck it, you know?
Bruh. Let it up. Dude, that was a good match.
I know. That's what I'm saying. For as much as, like, as much as we kind of shit on him a little bit.
He's gotten better. I'm like, I'm jumping on the bro train.
I can't. I don't know what it is. I just cannot. Maybe it's just because I hate hippies. I am so anti-hippie.
Wow.
No, I am not. Hey, if you know me, I am not a huge hippie. God, no, and he just screams like douchey California, bruh.
Yeah, he's
yes.
Sunshine
yes.
From Remember the Titans. He's definitely made a transition since like our previous conversations regarding him. I think he's gotten a lot better. I think someone came out and literally like looked at him like, dude, you need to stop talking shit. Because he's definitely calmed down.
I don't
down.
Care, man. Bruh.
Bro, but he's not doing that anymore. Now he's just letting his in-ring work do the talking for him.
Did he finally delete
he's
Twitter?
He's had some great matches. He's put on some great shows. So And he was even he also had a good showing on Sunday as well, Survivor Series. But there were some people that were shitting on the women's match, the women's War Games match.
How?
Saying that it was a good opportunity to bring out two other individuals. Like,
did they make comments on who?
No.
Or just
no.
Honestly, I was expecting it. But I feel like for what it was, and then what happened,
you made
and
Rhea what, Ripley look like
and then,
fucking.
Yeah. And then what happened again with, on Sunday? They kind of essentially fucked her again. Where it was, you know, it was yeah. It made Rhea Ripley a star.
Yeah, she will be a champion by the end of 2020. She is a top prospect for the Women's Royal Rumble. When her
WrestleMania calling it.
Yeah,
no, main roster title.
Yes, I agree. I will give you that. I see Rhea Ripley.
Yeah.
Then that meme that I sent you to, don't even act like you
didn't
have your eyes off it.
I saw like a picture of that like that night where it's like, it's hard to believe this is the same person. I'm like, holy shit. And then you sent me that one, like, dear God.
Yeah.
It's
no,
nuts.
If you look at her picture from like the first Mae Young Classic, like into like what she was in the second Mae Young Classic,
yeah.
Holy shit. Yeah. Absolutely. And then... Like, just a complete just transformation.
Now that...
And has literally made herself into a star.
Yeah.
And this weekend, she literally made herself an absolute household name.
Oh, yeah. Between that match and then even the ending of the men's War Games match.
Oh, my God. When Owen's music hits, I
oh,
lost
you mean,
it.
And I got to say, I told you so. I told you so. I told you so, motherfucker.
Well, there obviously were a lot of speculations on who the fourth person
you
was.
You told me I was nuts.
I didn't tell you I was nuts. I just didn't really get it. And then the more I thought about it, I was like, you know what? That does make sense. And then when his music hits, I'm like, I'm totally down for this. Because let's face it, like obviously everyone with Undisputed Era and Kevin Owens obviously have a past.
Yeah.
And even
like when his music hit, the how they just put the camera on Adam Cole and how he just like the look on his face, like what the
speaking of cameras on faces.
Yeah, we gotta touch on this briefly.
Oh my God. Like don't tell me
like
that,
how are you that are you
how
guys
do you
really
not know?
Are like, you really that oblivious?
Well, he didn't know who she was, so he put the camera on the person with the biggest shocked face. Bro, you're
but
gonna
even
tell me you don't
know
who Britt Baker is.
And you're telling me that there are not people in WWE in the back that who can see this camera view before you call for that camera to go on.
Thank you.
That
it
you
needs
didn't
to go
fucking
approval.
Know that you
or someone that says get the fucking camera
over. You're fucking telling me that Triple H is not sitting there with all the multiple camera views saying, "Let's go to this camera. Let's go to this camera," or something like that. Somebody is not is that fucking
or even,
dumb?
Or even Triple H saying, like, get the fucking camera off of her now.
And
like, switch to the next
shot. And once
they
probably went to that, he probably did. But you're telling me no one saw that first?
then no one fucking was like, oh wait, that's Britt. We can't put it. Don't do it. Don't go to four. Do not go to four.
But here's my thing, and this is where I'm coming from. I don't think it's that big of a fucking deal.
I don't really think so either.
No, they're making a huge deal.
Sorry, who gives? It's not like she's there to wrestle you. You call this what? Within the last few years, the reality era.
Yeah.
Guess what? Fucking reality. Wrestlers date each other who don't work for the same promotions.
Yeah. I mean,
it fucking happens.
Peyton Royce married to Ty Dillinger.
Yeah. There
you go. Renee Young. Are you gonna flip out on Renee Young because she was live tweeting the last fucking AEW pay per view? Like, oh, you can't talk about that. Okay, my husband's in a
So I'm not supposed to talk about my husband and his career?
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry that, you know...
Well, you work for the competition.
Yeah, that, you know, you guys are shitting on his career pretty much and not letting him do what he, you know, things that he was really trying to push for, so he decided to go somewhere who's going to let him do what he wants regardless of money?
Yeah.
Like, fuck, man. Like, yeah. Come on.
Who cares what they talk about? I didn't see...
It's not... I'm sorry. It is not... The Wednesday Night Wars, there really is no competition. We talk about it here. Who gives a fuck? Love wrestling. Love everything.
Wrestling.
Go watch everything.
Yeah.
So just call it. Just call it out.
Yeah.
It's Adam Cole's girlfriend, Britt Baker, who just happens to work for a different company.
Yeah, and there was kind of on that topic too, like with the Wednesday Night Wars. I think
we even made the war.
What?
There's no war.
There is no war, but I truly feel that one of the biggest difference makers in that war is the women's division.
Yeah.
And this weekend.
Did we talk about that on
here? We didn't talk about it on the air.
No, we were talking about it Sunday.
We talked about it on Sunday at the party.
Days are blended together, dude.
I know.
I even took the day off and days are blending together. Okay. So
You did take the day off. Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
And days are still blending together.
Oh, God. I still would love a day off. Today should have been my day off, but yeah, I don't have one.
Yeah.
Oh.
But yeah, that is true. If you want to talk about
the
it,
difference
it's like
maker you is
can
going
put
to be the
yeah,
division.
You can put both men's promotions up against each other and, you know,
straight down the middle.
Yeah,
straight down the middle.
But yeah, no, if you're really going to call out here's a difference right now between and just because of what it is, NXT and AEW because they're on the same night.
NXT rules in NXT the women's division.
Because of the women's division.
Yes.
You could even just put AEW against like Raw and SmackDown.
AEW
same thing. AEW probably beats them in the men's department because they, you know, they'll put on because, you know, right now I'm sorry, just some of the E product just I'm gonna shit on it. But yes, same thing.
I'm liking this feud between Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins right now.
You're getting the Seth Rollins heel turn, and he's going to get AOP now behind him.
I'm liking it. I really
need to do something with them. Like, let's be honest, they are big motherfuckers.
Yes,
they are, and especially for someone like Seth Rollins, if you're gonna be turning him again,
he needs
and he needs. And I'm sorry, it's like yeah, back in the day when he had like Triple H with him doing shit, and he had you know what was it J&J?
Yeah,
yeah. Like, come on,
he needs somebody. He needs an entourage.
Yeah.
He's a better heel when he has an entourage. Just like The Miz, he's a better heel when he's got an entourage.
At this point, I don't think you could ever be heel again.
No, I don't. But
as long as Miz and Maurice, like, you know, they're, or whatever the, is that, what the fuck?
Miz
is
and Mrs.
Miz and Mrs., thank you, which I do enjoy watching theirs.
I do too.
It's like, while there is Miz and Mrs. on TV, he can never be heel again.
No, they're not going to put him as a heel right now.
You can't.
No.
No,
you
like they said.
To watch, you're not
even ready. Even when the show came out, he was still in his heel character, but then people started cheering him because, oh, he's not a total asshole. He's just a fucking idiot. Well,
he's a Browns fan. He goes through enough misery.
He's a Clevelander. We get it.
Yeah. But all in all, obviously War Games, I say take the weekend.
I think so.
Survivor Series?
They had some great matches, but then it's just
it was kind of like
WrestleMania as the show went on. It's just I think there was just so much still.
There was so much going on.
It's you start kind of fading out. But I'm sorry, yes, and I
the
know
main we, event,
the main event,
main event,
and not the tag team.
No,
the main event of Survivor Series was awful,
awful.
And no, before you guys start tweeting at us,
no, you
it
can
wasn't,
if you want to.
No,
it was awful.
No.
before you start tweeting, no, it wasn't because it was a women's match.
No.
It was just the match quality in general. It was just way too fucking slow.
It should have been even seeing faster it
on,
pace. Yeah,
I was even seeing it on Twitter that it was just way, the pace was too
People
slow.
People were walking out.
Yeah. For what these women were doing to each other on Raw and SmackDown and NXT, this should have been what felt more like a notice qualification, no DQ match. Like they should, yes. Like the chairs, the kendo sticks, they should have been bringing out everything.
Like I might not win this, like, but even you're not going to walk out.
Yeah, like yeah. Even the end, you finally put Shayna into it through a table.
After the match was over.
After the match. Why didn't she go through one during?
I think JT made that comment too. Like the table wasn't available during the match. No, it was hot sauce.
Yeah.
Hot sauce was like, you couldn't have, like, put her through a table during the match.
You guys like started like kind of throwing each other towards the table, but then you guys wouldn't do anything.
No.
And then when you got in the ring, it's like you wanted a wrestling match, which I have no problem with just a wrestling match, but it was way too fucking slow.
It was unbearably slow. It was, we were sitting there like, oh my God.
Like at this point, just come on.
Like, come on.
Like, no, it's like if you're trying to wrestle the beginning, it's like you could have a wrestling match and tell a story. Like a legit like wrestling match and tell a story and have it still be slow, but you're telling a story. They weren't telling a story during this match.
I think one of the hardest things was you had the triple threat match with Roderick Strong, with AJ Styles, and Shinsuke Nakamura, which was fast paced.
But it's like, theirs was fast paced, but that's also kind of their styles where it's like, but at least these women, you knew they could kick the shit out of each other,
yes.
But they weren't doing it.
No. And I felt as though, I think my biggest pet peeve is why at the end of it did you have to have Becky standing tall? Why couldn't you let Shayna have her moment? That's my major takeaway.
I don't know.
That was my main
unless
takeaway.
This is a slow build for something.
I hope so, because I would love to see Shayna versus Becky at WrestleMania.
And maybe at
Royal Rumble. Give it to them at Royal Rumble.
I don't know if it's going to be at the Rumble. Maybe they'll tease it again with maybe Shayna enters the Rumble even as NXT Women's Champ. Maybe she will to try to become essentially double champ.
What if at WrestleMania now, like, the women can, or the men can decide whatever title they want. It doesn't need to be Raw or SmackDown. They can go after an NXT championship, and the main event is essentially
Adam Cole versus whoever.
Well, you think that Adam Cole's going to hold the title for that long?
Yeah, I do. I kind of.
I do too.
Like
Keith Lee, I'd love to see.
And you know what? What if he comes in and wins the Rumble, Men's Rumble? Maybe. You know what?
I'm still praying for a Miz Royal Rumble win.
I think, like, as much as, you know, kind of like Jericho was, where it's like he came in, you put an Intercontinental title on him, and, you know, he's perfectly happy. You can make a lot around him.
Yeah.
I think the same thing you can do with the Miz, but I still would love to see the Miz back as a mate, like, the champ.
I agree. So, I mean, the build up going into Royal Rumble, because let's face it, I'm after the. Like, the three times that we went to TLC, this is not my cup of tea pay-per-view. And I think I pretty much just kicked it to the curb after tables, ladders, chairs, and stairs.
Yeah.
After that, I'm like, okay, I don't care about this.
I'll see what matches come out of it. Like, if there's anything that really is going to sink me into it.
Yeah. What do you think, last question of the day, what do you think the ratings are going to be like tomorrow? Because obviously we're recording this on a Tuesday. Tomorrow's NXT.
You're talking
ratings.
You're talking who's going to win?
Yeah. Who's taking tomorrow?
And NXT finally took their first one last week, I believe.
Yeah, they did. 8 weeks it took them. 8 weeks. And they're back in the number one spot. Who are you taking tomorrow?
I would have to see kind of the matches, but something tells me NXT, coming out of Survivor Series, like War Games and Survivor Series, it's going to be NXT.
I agree.
Because I think right now AEW is just kind of stuck in the same few matches. But then again, you got a Jericho Scorpio Sky, if I recall.
That is correct. And then when are we going to see Wardlow in the ring? You know what?
Maybe that's a good lead into, hey guys, don't forget, if you haven't heard, AEW is coming to Cleveland.
Yes, it is.
Maybe it's a slow burn to Cleveland.
I hope so. So
I kind of hope it's not that long to be.
I hope it's not that long either.
I kind of hope he gets in there before then. But
I agree. So
I would not be sad. Which
tickets go on sale on Friday?
That's true. Hope Justin said he would give us a heads up.
He wants front row though.
Yeah, I'm very curious how much. He said he would text us when he found out pricing because I've been looking. That he said he would text just to kind of give us a heads up what he if we would still want him.
I mean, get him if we don't go. He can easily find someone else to go, but I'm not paying $400 for a front
row
ticket.
which is why he said he would text me prices to make sure that we would still want those seats.
Yeah.
And then we can be like, yeah. And then we may know a guy.
We might know a few guys, quite a few.
Well, there's at least one who actually is signed there.
There's three that I can easily text right now other than the one that you're referencing. That I talk to pretty often. We know quite a few people here. Conversation for off the air. But
yeah.
If you're in the Cleveland area, if you haven't heard the news, AEW is coming to the Wohlstein Center in January.
January 29th?
Thank you. I was going to completely Wednesday, botch
January,
that day.
Yeah, Wednesday, January 29th. I only know because I looked at my calendar on my phone, and there is absolutely zero things scheduled. No sports, nothing.
Oh.
It is a completely empty day that day. Well, so I'm like,
now we know what we're doing. So if you're able to make it, you can grab your tickets this coming Friday. Also, speaking of tickets, head on over to the link in our bio at not only our Twitter page, but also our Instagram page. Grab some tickets to IWC Pittsburgh Pro Wrestling Classic happening on December 7th.
As I have seen, I think VIP sold out, and they said front row is almost sold out. So
almost, yep.
Get your tickets now.
Yeah, you want to get them as soon as possible.
Don't forget, we will be there.
Live and in person.
And we will be at the after party at Carriage Inn.
No, we are the after party. We are the after party. We are after parties with us.
We'll have...
It is the Dark Match Podcast after party. So we have to be there. We have to party.
Dark Match after dark after party.
Holy shit, we're quitting the fuck out of that. That was fantastic. Dark match after dark after party. Just rolls right off the tongue, Dave. That's why I love you. That's going to do it for this week's episode. Be sure to follow along all across social media. Be sure to give Dave a round of applause right there. That was fantastic. Speaking of fantastic, Great Lakes Brewing Christmas Ale. We're still waiting on that keg. So that's going to do it for this week. We will see you next week. Have a great Thanksgiving, everybody. Take care.